We're going to think together just for a few minutes about that reading which Ella very kindly gave to us. And I think Amos might be helping me at this point. Okay. I'm particularly looking for any children who might be able to help me. I don't know, Phoebe, you're usually ever so kind and help me. Or Toby, will you help me? Would you help me? No, it's not that day. It's not that day. Okay, all right, that's fine. Okay. If you see Amos, could you tell me where he is? Okay? If you see Amos, can you show me where he is? Okay? Over there. any enjoy? Phoebe, can you see Amos? Can you see him? No? Yes? No? Can you see him? He's ever so tall. He's very tall. Very tall chap. Plays a trombone. Where? There? There? No. Where's he gone? Where's he gone? Yeah, no. Where? Over there? Over there? No! Where? Show me. This could kill the gag, this could. Hey! Well done. I'm going to give Amos a big round of applause. I should just say I had threatened Eve with asking her to do that, so she was mighty grateful when Amos said he would do it. It's really easy, isn't it, to miss things? It really is easy to miss things. I don't know if you've ever, been to visit something and you sort of go through the visit and then you come home and someone who's also been there says to you, "Did you see that?" And you go, "No, they didn't." Or, you're looking for something and you know it's there, but you can't see it. You can't see it. In this resurrection story we get in Mark's Gospel, there's a lot, actually, of seeing or not seeing. And it's got very little to do with physical eyes, but just bear with me. The women are on their way to the tomb, and we know, all the Gospels tell us this, that it is women who go first thing on the first day of the week. Of course, Sunday for them would have felt like Monday morning. It would have felt like Monday morning. And they went to the tomb and they were going to do for Jesus' body what they'd not been able to do on the Friday because the Sabbath was coming. So they go, and as they go, they say, "Who will move the stone for us? Who will do it?" So 10 out of 10 for commitment and enthusiasm, not quite so many out of sort of strategy, okay, thinking through how they're going to do that. They're asking, "Who will roll the stone away from us?" But then there comes the first bit of seeing. They looked up. They looked up and saw that the stone, and Mark tells us, which was very large, had been rolled away. It's almost as if they're hunched over, they're looking down, they're carrying their spices, and they're talking, "How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this?" And they looked up, and they saw that God had already acted. God had done this. The resurrection had happened. Not dependent on them or their efforts, the resurrection, the new life, the conquest of death itself had happened. How often in life do we find life pushing us down? Circumstances in our own lives, circumstances in the lives of those we love, circumstances in the news, in the wider world. They push us down, don't they? They make us look down. And we can feel lost. bewildered, even unsure of whether the resurrection is real. The story invites us to look up and see what God has done. So that first seeing, looking up to see that God has done this. Now, they enter the tomb and they see a young man. Another day, I'd love to explore with you who this young man is. Is he an angel? Is he an angel? Or actually, is he the same young man that we saw in the Garden of Gethsemane? You know, who ran away and left his gear behind? He runs away naked. Do you remember that in Mark's Gospel? There's another young man here. Maybe this is Mark himself giving witness to the resurrection. But that's another sermon. We're not going to go there just now, okay? Don't be alarmed. That's a hint that he might actually be an angel, because that's usually what angels say. But anyway, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not risen. He has risen. He is not here. Sorry. See for yourself. See the place where they laid him. Yes, the resurrection is something which God does. This truth, this fact, this theological earthquake that means the old order is passing away and the new order is breaking in. That sin is dealt with and death defeated and the life of God is flooding in. That has happened. Now you see it. See the place where they laid him. We need that, don't we? We need that personally. Whatever is going on for you at the moment, it might be bringing you great joy and delight and wonder. And if it is, amen, enjoy that. But I suspect that for most of us, there are difficulties, problems, sadnesses, disappointments. See the place where they laid him. See it for yourself. Touch the resurrection and know that that is for you individually, personally, raised for you. And then one more seeing. Go, tell his disciples and Peter. That beautiful little detail that Mark gives us. You remember Peter has denied him? Go, tell his disciples and Peter, I have not forgotten about him. I am still calling him. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. They're not in Galilee, they're in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is about 90 miles away from Galilee. But Galilee is where it all began. Galilee is where their normal, ordinary, everyday lives are, where their work is, where their families are, where they are known and loved. That is their meat and drink, their bread and butter, their everyday. The resurrection is for the glory of this celebration, but it is also for his touch in our everyday, in those moments which make up our lives, good, bad, difficult, easy, joyful, sad. Those moments when we are who we want to be, those moments when we fall far short of who we want to be. He meets us in our Galilee. There we will see the risen Jesus. So in this story, we get at least three seeings. Seeing what God has done. Seeing the resurrection for ourselves. Seeing the risen Jesus in life, today and tomorrow and every day. May God grant that the resurrection and the risen Jesus fills your heart and your life today. Amen.